Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. President Beta. Murder Master Music Show. It's that kid here, Nilla. Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show. This right here is where the real rap at.
What's up, and it's Bootleg the Rock Capone from the Dayton family.
Baby, this is your boy, Uncle.
What up, y'all?
This is E-Shop.
Yo, 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 what's up? This is your boy, C-Murder, and I'm chilling with my boy, Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Check out the motherfucking Murder Master Music Show right here at blogtalkradio.com/Murder Master Music Show. We play nothing but the hardest gangster shit from around the globe. Plus, we interview legends and pioneers of this motherfucking rap game. Call the number is 714-409-0548. Ain't nobody else paying homage to legends like we are. Fuck the lame stream, bitch.
What's up? It's the Murder Master Music Show, episode 46. Tonight, man, we're taking it way the fuck back. We took you back with MC Shan. We took you back with Mr. Mix. And we took you back with DJ Ready Red. And now we're going back even further. I'm talking about the early to mid-70s. This here is Grandmaster Caz of the, coming out of the Bronx, you know what I'm saying? He hooked up with Kool Herc. This is going way back before my time, man. I didn't even start listening to rap until the mid-80s. I was like in third grade. So that's the type of music I'm going to play tonight. But this cat here, I'm telling you, he goes way the fuck back. This cat is considered one of the, I think he was number 11 on Blaze Magazine's top 50 MCs of all time. This guy's in the Techniques DJ Hall of Fame. He was also the first DJ slash rapper. He would DJ and rap at the same time. He was the first guy to ever do that shit. He's just a fucking legend. He's just a fucking legend, man. You can't take nothing away from the guy. He's from the Bronx. I just watched him on Ice-T's new documentary, Something from Nothing, The Art of Rap, which was phenomenal. I'm going to play a little bit of a freestyle that he did in that movie. But, man, this is history. If you're tuning in tonight and you heard all the guests we've had on the past, you know what I'm saying, we've had Academy Award winners, we've had trendsetters, and everything you could think of in this game. But tonight, man, we're going way the fuck back on you. This guy's the man, I'm telling you. You motherfuckers wouldn't be doing what you're doing today if it wasn't for him and other cats like him. Check out this little freestyle from the Ice-T documentary.
I be that stage nigga. I don't know how to age, nigga. I'm the first cat to put the pen to the page, nigga. I'm the key to the cage, nigga. That brown and beige, nigga. I'm the off the chain meat rack meter and gauge, nigga. I'm that top, nigga. Walk through your hood with a bop, nigga. No drop, nigga. But I ain't gotta run from the cop, nigga. Hip hop, nigga. I used to run with your pop, nigga. Yo, I thought I told you that I won't stop, nigga. The mic, nigga. MCN's like riding a bike, nigga. I'm the beige Timberland and the white Air Knight, nigga. I'm the rhyme, nigga. The let's go back into time, nigga. The prime, nigga. That always keep him a dime, nigga. I'm the six, nigga. I'd rather flip flows and bricks, nigga. I should have been long gone, but I'm still in the mix, nigga. I'm the live, nigga. Always last to arrive, nigga. I'm the Cross Bronx West Side FDR Drive, nigga. I'm that hood, nigga. I smoke that good wood, nigga. You can never fuck with, but wish that you could, nigga. I'm that damn nigga, that fuck you and your man nigga, that get your punk ass in the back of the van nigga, I'm that sweet nigga, that never off beat nigga, that circle in a slash on cold mics, heat, nigga. I'm that cool nigga. Ran my whole high school, nigga. And you don't want to ever challenge me to a duel, nigga. I'm that proud nigga. That stand out in the crowd, nigga. To go where most of y'all niggas ain't allowed, nigga. I'm that smart nigga. Always first to start, nigga. I think with my head, but I feel with my heart, nigga.
That is one of the coldest freestyles. I'm telling you, man. I hope to God the Murder Master Media Show is going to get blessed with some of that shit right there, man. Let me bring on our guest, the one and only Grandmaster Caz. How you doing, my brother?
What's good?
Man, first and foremost, I just want to salute you for starting something that, even as a journalist myself, man, I made somewhat of a career out of. You know, if it wasn't for people like you, I wouldn't even be doing this shit, man. So I thank you, man.
You get paid for what you do?
Yes, sir.
Then I did something.
You really did. Well, some years I didn't get paid, but you know how the hip-hop game is. It could be a motherfucker.
No doubt.
But, man, I'm glad to have you here. I just checked out the documentary, you know what I'm saying, got it off the Netflix. Paying my monthly fee, so I got it. I checked it out, and dude, I did not know your history. I mean, I heard of you, but I did not know how deep your history was, man. For the listeners that's tuning in right now, can you please just enlighten them how far you go back with this rap shit?
I go back in hip hop before it was any rap shit. You know what I mean? When it was all about the DJ, I started out as a DJ. Well, a B-boy. You know what I mean? And then got too tall for that. And, I was at the beginning of the culture, man, and everything. It was an open book, you know? So, I mean, once, you know, I kind of did with my B-boy thing, the next step was to play music, man, a DJ, man. And once I saw a real DJ do it, that was it. My life changed. And from then on, I've been part of this culture. That was 1974.
Yeah. That was the days of Kool Herc, I believe, right?
Yeah, Kool Herc, Bambada, Flash was coming up, you know what I mean? The L Brothers, those were the formative years of hip-hop. That's when, like, when there wasn't no money involved. It cost you money to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, equipment costs money, man. Carrying it around, transporting it, you know what I mean? You know, maintaining it. And all that, man, all the things that took to do this, man. But like, it was a labor of love for us, you know what I mean? And it was either that or sports, really.
Yeah. And, you know, coming from the Bronx, I imagine, you know, you had to occupy your time with something positive, you know what I'm saying, in that environment, man. Otherwise, you get caught up in some shit.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, hip-hop was a lot of people's saving grace, you know what I mean? Had it not been for hip-hop, you know, we all could have went down the same negative road, you know.
Yeah, that's real shit. Now, of course, you were featured in Ice-T's documentary, The Art of Rap, From Nothing into Something, I believe it's called.
Something from nothing.
Something from nothing.
Yeah.
Forgive me, I've been smoking something. That's why I don't know nothing.
I'm about to twist myself.
Yeah. You was blazing in the movie, in the documentary too. But it was crazy when Ice-T was interviewing you. You were writing a rap. How long did it take you to write that? Because it just, you know, it showed clips.
20 minutes.
And you just man, that was amazing. Did Ice-T ask you to write something on the spot?
Well, you know, a lot of my notoriety. Well, not a lot of it, because not a lot of people knew this. But people who've seen me write or seen my rhyme books know that my handwriting is impeccable. You know what I mean? And when I write in my books, I mean, it is a uniformity to it. You know what I mean? And you know, that's always been a thing. I always had good handwriting, and I guess it comes from my graffiti days or whatever. But they thought it would be cool, you know what I mean, to just watch me write a rhyme right there on the spot. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I had done like three rhymes in the movie, and then I wrote that one. So I think Ice gave me a lot of love and a lot of shine But the producers and the guys directing the film, they was like, yo, hold up, get some more of this guy, get some more. This motherfucker ain't no joke right here. So, I mean, I don't know how many opportunities I'm going to have to feature in a film about rap, you know, with a lot of the new players in the game, because, you know, the game separates us. They don't want us.
Completely.
Their predecessors, you know, so I did get that opportunity to, you know, to be side by side with some of the best today, and I did my thing.
Yeah, you did. You did. You definitely did. And you are right. The game separates the legends and the pioneers and the originators. And this whole show, that all we do is pay homage to you guys. You know what I'm saying? All we have on here are pioneers and legends and up and coming legends. You know what I mean? So, again, I thank you for coming through, man. But next question I want to ask you is, obviously, you know, for the people listening, do you have anything that you're getting ready to drop?
Oh, well, yes, definitely. I got a book coming out. Yesterday was supposed to be the release date. It's called Written, The Lyrics of Grandmaster Caz. And it's basically a collection of some of, you know, my favorite rhymes, and, you know, and verses and stuff, written in my own handwriting. You know, a lot of times.
That's dope.
When they put out lyric books, usually they just print the lyrics. And a lot of times they're popular songs or popular artists, you know what I mean? So people are interested in their lyrics. I mean, this might be the first time like an MC's.
Yeah, we've just lost Caz. If you can, man, call back in, 714-409-0548. Man, this is crazy, man. We're over here just chopping it up with Grandmaster Caz. This guy, you heard him, he goes back to 1974. I didn't even come into this world until 4 years after that. So I didn't even start listening to rap until, you know, maybe 6-7 years after that. So it's crazy to have this cat on the fucking show. It's just fucking amazing. Here he is. He's back. Yeah, Caz.
I'm sorry, I didn't know where we got cut off at.
Yeah, you was talking about, I believe you was talking about, what you got coming up, the book. It was written in your own writing, and no one's ever done nothing like that before, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. It may be the first time. I mean, it wouldn't be my first, you know what I'm saying? And at this point, you know, in my career, it's about, you know, bringing new stuff to the table, man. Not reinventing yourself, but coming up with new, you know, new ways to express hip hop. You know what I mean? And because I'm not trying to get signed to nobody label right now. You know what I mean? Not that I couldn't. You know,
yeah.
I'm getting ready to come out with some new music. But the first thing, you know, the guys from the film thought it would be a good idea for me to put out a book of lyrics, since, you know, I do have a vast, you know, collection of books and lyrics. So, you know, that's what's happening with that. Of course, I'm still doing the Hush Hip Hop Sightseeing Tours here in New York. This is my 10th year. I'm going on 11 years doing that, teaching the world about hip hop one bus load at a time.
And I commend you for doing that, because a lot of these guys nowadays, they don't know the history. I mean, they don't even know the history of the 90s, let alone the 70s and the early 80s. So it's a good thing that you're out there doing that, man.
It's definitely important, man, because, I mean, first of all, if we don't document our own history, someone else is going to document it. And then it's going to wind up like the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah,
45
everything.
Different people's version of what happened. Okay. And I'd rather write my own version. So,
and it's documented in stone right now.
Exactly. Exactly. So after the lyric book, back to the music. You know what I mean? And put out some new music. I definitely got a lot in me stored up. So, you know what I mean? And then let's see what happens. You know what I mean? Movies, film, whatever. I'm open for it. You know what I'm saying?
If you can, take me back to those early days of just rhyming on the block, man, back in the Bronx. Man, just what was the atmosphere like?
I mean, it was cool. Hip hop was isolated, man. It was only a few of us doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, while we would be at the park, while most of the kids is on the basketball court or on the handball court or whatever, we outside the park banging on the car, doing beats on car hoods and rhyming.
Yeah.
So it was another activity, you know, and something that everybody couldn't do. And that's what made it cool. You know what I mean? It was like, if you're not the big athlete around the block, or you ain't the bully around the block, or you ain't the best dressed or the whatever around the block, you need something to attach yourself to. You need something that says, well, this is what I do. This is who I am. And for a lot of us, hip-hop was just that. It was for me.
Yeah. If you guys are listening right now, this is so important. This is not only, I mean, this is history for our show here, but in general, this is history for the birth of hip-hop. I mean, this cat here really goes back. We got a caller, 347 in the building.
Yo, what's up, man? It's Wicked.
Wicked Vendetta, man. What's up, my brother?
What's up, man? I want to send a shout-out to you first and foremost. Everybody know me. You go way, way back. Send a shout-out to Grandmaster Caz. Really, I'm glad he's on the show, because you cover a lot of history on your show, even as a writer with a lot of the stuff you used to write for Murder Dog.
Thank you, my brother.
Like you said, this goes back to the foundation of this thing. And growing up, man, it's like, I grew up in New York.
Yeah.
I grew up in Brooklyn. I remember, like I've said on your show from time to time, and Kaz can elaborate on this. I remember when you had R&B stations in New York that would not play rap music. We would have to wait for Mr. Magic to come on. What I almost said about is, like, these kids today, they have no sense of their local history from the region they're from. They have no sense of history from the game of hip hop, period.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the more stuff that comes out to inform them, it's like they turn their back on it more. If you got cats from the South that don't know that real Southern history you and I have discussed before.
Yeah,
you got cats
from
the West Coast that don't know the origins of what Eazy-E actually contributed to this game. They don't understand how prolific a producer DJ Quick is to this game. And then when you go back to the basis of where all of this came from, I see it on the internet all the time. I hear it in conversations all the time. Well, you have a lot of people from today that say, well, New York didn't even craft this art form. We did craft this art form. I was a little kid, and Kaz can walk with me on this. We would pass tapes borough to borough. I remember being 5 or 6 years old, being up in those projects up in the Bronx, you know, where we were doing block parties, and that's how this music got out. And to see this thing come from, you know, Cedric and Cedar Avenue, and I know he know what I'm talking about, and those block parties and from the parks, to see it go from there to being a multi-billion-dollar industry, I just think that, you know, there needs to be more gratitude from these kids today. They need to really understand the history of what it is they're involved in.
You're
and a lot
right.
of them don't do it. They don't. They have no clue who these people are. They don't. You get a lot of kids that don't even know who A-Ball and MJG is, and they're from Tennessee.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about reaching farther back to the foundations of hip-hop, it's crazy. But that's what kind of pisses me off. It's like, y'all really don't understand how much of a fight this was to get this music on the radio, to get this music in record stores, to get this lifestyle and this culture out there.
And that's why we have to pay homage to these guys and let them tell their story and have brothers like you come on and tell what you saw as a kid growing up. We got to document this shit.
I mean, but the mainstream media, and I give you all the props in the world, man, with everything you're doing, and I keep doing it, but it's like the mainstream media act like this part of the history don't exist. But I give you a prime example. And again, Kaz can back me up on this. We throw these summer jams in the park. You get DJs, old school DJs like Bent Rock and all these cats. They throw these jams in the park even during the summer and springtime now. They get 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 people. So somewhere, somebody's still listening to this music. These old school rappers that people are dismissing, they're still working, dog. Dougie Fresh ain't released a new album in years. That man works out of 52 weeks a year. He's on the road at least 40, 45 weeks a year.
Hey, hold on one sec, Wicked. 347, you're on. Hello?
Yo, yeah,
it's Kaz. Oh, it's Kaz, you're back. Okay, okay.
My that's my cell phone, and it's going to keep going out, so I called you from a landline.
Oh, that's what's up, Kaz. I appreciate that. But,
but I mean, it's crazy, man.
Wicked, what was you wanting to ask Kaz, man? Because, man, you're getting real deep into, you know.
See what he's been up to lately, because I've been rocking with Kaz. Like I said, I've been in from the foundation of this to when, I mean, and that was like even with the East Coast, the whole East Coast, West Coast thing, and it was hard, and a lot of other areas don't understand it. New Yorkers had to fight. These artists had to fight. There was no blueprint for them to follow. So when they finally got put on the radio and started kicking these doors down and Run DMC's came through and Public Enemies came through, it was hard for them to accept all these other reasons. But me, loving my home like I did, I started to embrace all this other music from around the country because I wanted to hear what everybody else was doing. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm just glad to see Kaz still doing what he's doing. I'm glad to see the original DJ Hollywood still doing what he's doing. Dougie Fresh, I mean, all these cats from the old to the new. I really didn't have a question. I just wanted to make a comment on that and, you know, give you your props too, man, for actually having him on the show.
Because, man, no, like, thank you, man. It's a fucking honor.
Yeah, you know, I mean, because this dude is like, he's one of the originators that we was like, yeah, we want to go where Kaz is, where he's performing at. Where's Ron G performing at? Where's DJ Hollywood performing at? These are cats, Grandmaster Flash, Melly Mel. These are cats that we grew up, you know, following, and then we flipped the industry, had careers in this industry, and just kept it moving. So I just want to send a shout-out to you, to him, I mean, and all y'all. Just keep doing what you're doing, but it's, this history of this is so important, and it gets misconstrued so much in the mainstream.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. We
definitely appreciate you, brother.
Thank
you for your insight, man.
Nah, not a problem, brother. Not a problem.
Yeah. See, that's what he's talking about, man. Just it seems like there's an underappreciation for what you guys have done. I mean, I see people eating good, and I'm not knocking anybody making their money or doing what they got to do. But I also see people who should be in better positions than where they are. How do you feel about this? I mean, is that fair to say?
I mean, well, of course, it's obvious, you know, it's fair to say. But it's nobody's, a lot of times, you know, people take the attitude that, you know, since these younger guys are, you know, out here and they came in that when a lot of money was involved and a lot of them became millionaires and made a lot of money, you know, that they should, you know, pay homage or look. I mean, they don't owe us nothing. Accept some appreciation and a little bit of respect. That's all. You know what I'm saying? Because at the time when we started this, like you said, there was no blueprint. There was nobody to copy after. We made this shit up as we went along. You know what I mean? And it's the same, you know, story as it's always been historically. The founders of most things, you don't see them at the payoff. You know, either, you know, we were so into building hip-hop that we didn't invest, you know, into, you know, the future of it. You know what I mean? We didn't know where it was going to go or end up, you know. And then a lot of the people who wanted to get involved in hip-hop didn't have any talent. So, you know, they got in the back side of it. You know what I mean? Maybe on the business side or on the production side or on a, you know, engineering. There's so many different jobs that you can do in hip-hop, from management to publicist to, you know what I mean, record company, all kind of things. So a lot of those guys went that route, and that's the route that turned into becoming lucrative. So, no, New School don't owe us nothing but some respect, about as much as we respect our elders, James Brown, Sly and the Family Stone, you know what I mean, the cats who the beats, where we got our hip-hop music from, okay? You know what I mean? We hold them in the highest of esteem. You know, we put them back on the map by using their music and by talking them up, and you know what I mean, and appreciating them. That gave others an awareness of them. And a lot of those artists knew life. See, but the new artists, they don't talk about nothing that happened before them. They don't talk about nothing that came before them, like it didn't exist, like hip-hop or rap music started with them, and that's all they're interested in. So, therefore, our history doesn't get pushed forward.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, that's and that's only indicative of hip-hop music. Every other genre of music, from jazz to rock to soul, I mean, all these other artists and musical genres, you know, they got heroes. They got classic artists. They got, you know, I mean, the Rolling Stones can fill any arena around the world. Why is that? Willie Nelson can pack the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So because these younger artists have a devout respect for the artists, they rock with them. You know what I mean? They do songs and get production from them and all kind of stuff. They keep them alive through them. See?
Yeah.
Hip hop don't do that. Hip hop trying to dead everything that happened before it. Before the guys was actually out here.
I think it was hijacked,
man. Interested in preserving the culture.
You know, it looks like it was hijacked on some corporate shit, just like how the government is, or just like how these banks are. Just
yeah, of course. Well, that's a whole nother. Let's don't start all that, man. We already know all that shit is intertwined, and it was just a matter of time. Hip hop got big enough for them to say, okay, it's time to take that shit over too. We can use that shit to influence people in positive and in negative ways. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. So let's talk a little bit more about your book. Is it done, you said?
Book is done. The book should be out. I'm waiting for my copy so I can start doing these book parties and book signings. I got orders, pre-orders and stuff right on my desk. So a lot of people want to get the book. I mean, just historically, because, you know, it's the first of its kind. That's one. Two is mine. You know what I mean? And, I mean, that's what it's about now. It's about us sharing some of this knowledge, and you know what I mean? This is all we got.
Yeah.
This is all we got. All we got is our history.
And who better to write it than one of the guys who originally wrote it? <You know?
laughs> Exactly.
You know, that's real shit. We got area code 302, I believe that's Delaware. What's popping, Delaware?
It's wicked. I had to do the same thing Kaz did, man, because the cells kept dropping.
Oh, okay.
I'm good, though. I'm just listening in, man.
No doubt. You got any questions you want to ask him? Or, man, feel free, brother.
To what he was just saying about the book, how can people actually contact you as far as getting copies of the book or like to set up book tours or book appearances in other cities?
Well, I mean, you can contact me, you know, through all the social media, you know what I mean? Facebook, you know, I'm under Grandmaster Kaz Brown on Facebook, Twitter, you know what I mean? Grandmaster Kaz, Instagram, The Real GMC, you know what I mean? Okay. So, I mean, all that, and my website, GrandmasterKaz.com. I'm here, baby. You can get at me any one of those ways. The book will be available on Amazon.
Okay.
Amazon.com. So in a few days, I figure less than a week, it should show up on the website. You'll be able to order. The company is based overseas, so Europe is their handle. They're distributed out there. But here in America, Amazon's going to be the only distributor. So either them, you know what I mean? I don't know how many. I know I'm going to run out of books quick, so, I mean,
yeah,
you can holler at me if you want. You better hurry up.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'll tell you what,
a
man.
A lot of people want to sign, you know what I mean? They want an autograph, so, you know, you got to get that from me.
Unless
you see me somewhere at a book signing or whatever.
Kaz is easy to get at. I'll put you this way. I watched the Ice-T documentary last night, and I'm talking to him tonight.
No doubt.
So you can get at this man, and if you want production, you want guest features, you want him to come to your city and rock a show, get at this man. This man's a fucking legend. He's been doing this for years. He's a pro at what he does. Pay the homage and respect. Thanks again, Vendetta. Appreciate you, my brother.
No problem, bro.
But I got one more caller here, area code 314. What's up, 314? This got to be Mac J, huh?
Yeah, what's up with the prayers? UGS for life, man. I've been phone tagging every phone I had, been dying and shit, man, out here doing this ho-ho-hoing and trying to get these kids situated for these next couple weeks, man. But I made it home, dog, and I got a chance to catch a legend on the line, man.
This is the mega Don legend of all legends, or one of them.
Yeah, like the originator, the ones that made us want to do it. You know what I'm saying? Years later, so
we wouldn't even be doing this shit if it wasn't for this cat. You know what I'm saying? And others like him. Let me before you ask him a question, I just want to ask you this, Cass. Name the five most influential people at the birth of this shit. I know you're in there, but name the other four.
Kool Herc, Africa Bambaataa, Grandmaster Flash, Melly Mel, and myself.
There you go, people. There you go.
Wow.
Five feet in. If it wasn't for these guys, well, let me ask you this. Let's get on some funny shit. Where does Blowfly fit in the mix?
Blowfly is like a dirty, you know, kind of comedian, like from the Red Fox days and shit like that. You know what I mean? And Blowfly got popular in the hood and in the community from that Dolomite character that he created. And Dolomite was like this badass pimp type character, and he did a few movies. So, I mean, but I mean, as far as hip hop, I think he did like a little rap album, like a disco rap album or something, you know, turning everything dirty, you know. But as far as hip hop is concerned, no, I wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
He hasn't been an influence in that sense, you know, on hip hop, like a rapper or like an artist.
Maybe like like you said, the dirty rap side of things, maybe, or something. But
I'm pretty sure he had to inspire somebody. A few people in that genre, you know,
oh,
what
man,
I mean?
Man,
part,
shit,
because,
I love that,
you know,
cat, man.
Cats like Blowfly, Richard Pryor, and stuff like that. That's the first time when we was growing up, we heard curses on records.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You didn't hear every record didn't curse back in our days when we listened to the radio, all right?
Yeah.
And there wasn't no bleep them out. It just, you didn't hear it. It was no curse in a record. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
might be a minute, you know, instance where you hear somebody say, you know, something. Parliament, Funkadelic made shit. Goddamn,
yeah.
Get off your ass and jam. And when that was like, oh shit, oh snap, yo, you know what I'm saying? A couple of records had a little ass or a little damn in it. You know what I mean? Prince, you know, has had a little dirty shit in his, but for the most part, I mean, not.
Prince had his ass out.
no doubt.
Hey, but I got a good question for you. I don't know if anybody asked it though, but considering you one of the founding fathers of everything that this world be influenced on, considering how far hip hop then went. But what does Grandmaster Caz listen to? Who's some of your favorite artists? Or like what's in your iPod or in your CD player when you get in the ride every day?
Good fucking question.
Okay, that's a good question. It varies. When I really listen to music that I want to listen to, I listen to 70s. You know what I mean? Music from the 70s. Because that's the music I grew up on. That's the music that really influenced me. And everything I do, you know, that music plays a part of it in it. You know what I mean? Now, I'm a DJ, too. And I'm a hip-hop cat. So I got to know what's going on. So I got to listen to what's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everything from the time we started doing hip-hop till today, I got to know what that is. You know what I mean? I got to be able to rock out. So, you know what I mean? When I have to, I got to stay current on my music. But when I just want to listen to some music, I go back to the
70s. Yeah, that's pretty much how I am, man. Like, not so much as the 70s, because I was born in the late 70s, grew up throughout the 80s and the 90s, but that's how I am with my music selection, man. It's mostly everything I grew up with from, like, 86, 88 on till about, I say, the early 2000s. So, you know, that's why I love
the
XM radio, too, because they got the backspin.
You were born into the hip-hop generation, bro.
Yeah.
You was born in the hip-hop generation. There wasn't no hip-hop when I was coming up.
See, that was a beautiful thing for us. I mean, me and him both, you know, 78 babies, and I mean, I went. I think I was like in second grade, third grade. I went from stupid shit like Puff the Magic Dragon straight into Amy Want Some Pussy. You know what
hey,
I mean?
Yo, I fuck with Puff the Magic Dragon though. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, and Pete Dragon.
I'm the Carlton Banks of hip hop. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I grew up listening to Barry Manilow and Simon and Garfunkel and Three Dog Night and all that shit, as well as Barry White and Teddy Pendergrass and, you know what I mean, and James Brown and Mike and the Jackson
Bad's
Five
fucking
and all
Domino.
That too. So, exactly.
Yeah, because, see, like, when
Domino.
I came up, most of my family and most of my older cousins, they were born in the early 70s, some of them in the late 60s. So we always... They was always into hip hop. That's what got me in. See, Prez, I was a little different. I was hearing some of the hip hop songs just because my cousins was already in middle school and in high school when we was toddlers. So what they listened to was what we wanted to listen to because we wanted to be like our cousins. And that's how I latched on to, like, when Kumo D was probably like one of my first favorite rappers growing up, just because I liked his style and the glasses and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? But
see, me, it was different. My friend's older brother, the one that stole everybody's bicycle, he handed me a dub tape of Two Live Crew. He's like, go home and listen to this. I put it in my tape deck. You know, as soon as I was like, oh, shit. You know, I'm hooked. But no, actually,
yeah,
the first thing I listened to was Run DMC, of course. You know, a rock box or some shit like that. You know, but yeah, all my life, man. Shit, I'm 34. I mean, you minus 4 years, 30 years I've been listening to this shit or something, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Give or take,
yeah.
So.
And I salute you, dog, because if it wasn't for y'all, man, like, hip-hop done brought me a long way, man. I'm resurrected with a lot of stuff we doing now from the music, from some guys that I done heard they shit, and it just gets you motivated, man, because it's still some guys out here really rocking it for what it is, for the music, and not just trying to catch gain off of it monetarily wise.
No
yeah.
doubt.
If
no
I
doubt.
Was doing this for the money, I would have quit a long fucking time ago. You know what I'm saying? Real shit. I got love. That's why I got you on here, man. That's why I got all these other cats on here, because it's like I wanna do my part in helping to preserve. You know what I'm saying? I don't just wanna be a guy in the sidelines, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I like rap, yeah. I wanna actually, you know, leave my little small I guess imprint on helping what I can do to preserve this shit.
And you doing it, Prez, because you got Grandmaster Cass on the Murder Master Music Show, and it ain't a lot of people right. doing it like how you doing it. You a legend in your own right too. I'ma always say that because I see what you doing over there. You know what
appreciate
I'm saying? I see
you,
what you're doing over here. I see what you're doing everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Keep grinding it. You keep putting these legends on. We're going to keep calling. We're going to keep tuning in. And we're going to keep spreading the word that the hip-hop is still here for the ones who really want it. It ain't about what you're seeing on TV all the time right now. You know,
yeah.
but it's going to come, it's gonna come back in full circle, man. And it's going to get back to where it needs to be. That's the only way it's going to stay here is if they get back to how it's supposed to be. And I'm glad you're still here with us, Cass, to share and enjoy some of your hip-hop success, I should say, because for you to be on the show and us to hear you, it's good, man, because it's diversity. And we, at UGS, man, Prez has some of everybody on, man, from DJ Ready Red to Mr. Mix to you, to, you know what I'm saying, to some of the newer cats, to some of the older cats. Here's the outlet for the guys that's listening to the show, man. Come on, tune in when Prez had these shows, man.
That's
and I salute Prez and Cass.
Man, thank you, my brother. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? We're definitely it's definitely a live show, man. I'm telling you, man. This is crazy. But do you still keep in contact? You know, with a lot of the cats.
Like who?
Like Melly Mel.
Are you kidding? You want me to call this nigga right now, man?
Please, please, can you?
Stop playing, man. Mel, that's my brother, man. Of course, I still. Me and Mel are like the two greatest niggas to ever do this.
Man,
we got a bond.
Man, if you could have I would love to have you guys on like a round table. That's another thing we do on the show. We bring people on and just let you guys just reminisce. You know, for the
let
fans.
Let me say something about the hip hop community, man. The first school of hip hop. We all share this shit. This is what makes us family. This is we brought together. I mean, we started a culture that I mean has encompassed the fucking planet.
Yeah. Okay. And we don't walk around with signs on our back saying that. You know what I mean? But we got a kinship among each other because we know it. You know what I mean? And we walk down the street, people look at us a different way because we started something that they love. You know what I mean? And that's a different kind of, I guess, fame or you know what I mean, or fortune, you know, than these younger guys are experiencing. You know, we get a different kind of love. We don't need a video. You know what I mean? We don't need a top 10 record. We don't need a Lambo, a stretch, a fucking Marcelago. We don't need none of that shit. You know what I'm saying?
They nice to ride in probably, though, but, you know, we don't need it, though.
I mean, probably, yeah, but, I mean, come on, man. That's not where our priorities were, so why should they go there now?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I wasn't talking that shit. You never hear me on the first when we was talking about, you know, having things. We were imagining this shit.
Yeah.
When I wrote, I got checkbooks, credit card, more money than a thugger could ever spend. I didn't have none of that shit. When I said I got bodyguards, two big cars, it definitely ain't the whack. I got a Continental and a sunroof Cadillac. I didn't have none of them shits. It was about being creative. It was about creating a persona, an image that wasn't necessarily you, but of a person in that position. So, you know, we weren't really, you know, always in the first person unless we was on some braggadocious shit, you know, which we 80% of the time we were, you know what I mean, talking about ourselves.
Right, and that's just
the rest
that competitive
of the time
nature, though.
About partying. Yeah. The rest of the time we talking about partying, man. Partying. Throw your hands in the air.
You guys are, man, that's crazy. Well, you got
your mind blown, huh, Press?
Melly Mel, you got to think, you know, that's the first guy to really bring, like, the streets, you know what I'm saying, to the forefront.
No doubt. And Mel, you know, they just, Rolling Stone just voted The Message the best rap record ever.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Out of the top 50, they voted The Message number one.
Yeah, The Message is that deal. Hella years later, it's still that, you can't deny it, man. You know, it's certain songs
that
you hear over
the,
yeah, it's The Message.
You know, made people look at, you know, MC, wait, hold up. They can say something. This shit could be, you know, it opened up people's eyes and woke them up like, God damn, this shit is all right. It's here. And so for that itself, I mean, you know, The Message gave hip-hop legitimacy and Planet Rock just took the shit up, you know, to a whole nother place.
Yeah, that was our first skating ring music, boy, at Planet Rock. I'm telling you, you get your leg broke if you don't know how to roll on the wheels. One two songs that y'all had, come on, you know what I'm saying? You will get ran clean the fuck over if you ain't on your
no
shit.
Doubt,
you know what I'm saying?
Roller skating.
See, and when I hear y'all music, man, it just bring me back to my adolescent. So like my kids, they'll laugh at me when I'm bumping some of the old stuff, you know, because they like all this swaggadocious, swagged shit. You know what I'm saying? But try not to knock them too much because I always make them turn that shit down. But then I get the feeling like I'm like my dad when I used to pump LL Cool J, and they was telling me to turn that shit down.
Exactly,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. But, if you look at it, you know, I mean, look at it objectively and listen to the music that you was listening to that your moms and them told you to turn down and listen what your kids are listening to that you tell them to turn down. Which one should really be turned down?
Yeah, a lot of this shit that they listen to now.
Okay. I mean, we're not older. Our parents were much older than we were. This generation of kids, their parents is like 8 years older than them.
They listen to the same shit.
They listen to the same shit.
They mama beat and stole
their
CDs.
They beat each other in the clubs and shit, man. So there's not that gap. There's really not as big a gap as it was from us back in the day. You know what I'm saying? So, for us to appreciate our parents' music is, I mean, come on, what the fuck? We had new music coming out, but we still look back and listen to the music where we grew up, when moms used to be cooking on Saturday and had that motherfucking record player playing in the living room.
You know what I'm
saying?
Like,
we were just talking about that yesterday. Like, listening to the blues. We were talking about the blues, and we had Frazier Boy from formerly of 3-6 Mafia, and he was talking about how he grew up on the blues, and they got a CD coming out with Bobby Blue Bland and Bobby Rush and a lot of them. I'm like, hell yeah, I grew up on that. That's the shit that my mom and them listened to. I ain't going to say we was forced, but we had to listen to that because we couldn't control the radio until they go to work or leave. So,
yo, but check this out, though. That's later on. When I was listening to the radio, it was only one radio station. All right? One radio station played everything. Wasn't no black radio station, and then a white radio station, and then a rock radio station, and a hip. It was one radio station, and they played all the different music. So you heard black music, you heard white music, you heard slow music, fast music, then you heard everything on one station. And that's how that's what gave you a better appreciation for music itself. Of course, later on, the WBLS came around, and you had the people who separated music. Oh, that's white boy music. This is black. But to me, it was all music. It was all music.
Yeah.
And when I think of a song, if I want to sing a song, or if I want to, you know, revert to a song that takes me somewhere, that made me feel something, it's one of them songs from back then.
Yeah.
And it wasn't "I Want You Back," all right, the Jackson 5 either, okay? It was some shit that has some lyrics that somebody took time to write. I listen to singers and songwriters. That's what I listen
to. Yeah.
People that took time, and you know what I mean, that you listen to their shit over and over, and every time you listen to it, you get something else out of it. You know what I mean? That's the type of shit I listen to because I'm a writer.
Yeah.
Now, people that just listen to music just to bop their head, it don't matter what it is, as long as the beat is hot.
Right, plus, you a DJ, too, so you got to, most DJs got an ear for different music anyway.
You're not
going to
have an ear for different music.
And rap at the same time.
Oh, you just a record player.
Yeah.
You ain't a DJ, you just play records.
Weren't you the first DJ to DJ and rap at the same time?
Yeah. Simultaneously.
That's cold as fuck.
Okay. Because DJing and rapping at the same time, all DJs did that, but they you know, they stopped DJing, and then they would talk, and then they would bring the record in, and then they would, you know, but me, I'm rhyming like an MC, like I battle a nigga and cut my own record.
That's tight as a motherfucker, though.
That's like being Rakim and Mr. Mix at the same time.
That's
right,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's fucking crazy. And before that, you said you were into graffiti.
Yeah, I don't consider myself a writer, but I do consider myself an artist. I can draw, you know what I mean? And all of my shit used to be done on paper. I wasn't out in the trains with spray paint cans and on wall because I would have got my ass whooped back then. I was into that, you know, I was more into dance and b-boying and shit when niggas was writing on walls, but I did it in school on paper, so that's how I met girls, you know what I mean? Little cute joint, come in the classroom, I get a name, sit at my desk, do a name. I had every color magic marker you could think of. By the time class is over, drop the paper on the table, bam, she's done. Oh, this is nice. And we're like, do one for my friend? I'm like, yeah, what's her name?
Yeah, my friend.
So, I mean,
that
was my graffiti thing.
See, my brother Six, his brother was a legendary Mike Dream, TDK. From the Bay Area, you know what I'm saying, rest in peace. He did a lot of big things. Matter of fact, KRS-One had him in his video. I forget the name of the video, but it had it had murals on the wall of Eazy-E, Big Pun, Jam Master Jay, and he was one of them, man. He was one of them, man. So graffiti and hip-hop and all this stuff, it goes hand in hand. At what point did everything start to mesh together?
Here's what happened. Yeah, that's a good question because usually I thought you was going to say, when did it come apart? But when did it mesh together?
Yeah.
Hip-hop became hip-hop when it meshed together. You know what I mean? These elements have always existed. Every cultural movement has them. You know what I'm saying? There's a cultural music, you know, is a cultural spoken word, you know what I mean, element. You know, there's an art element, you know what I mean? And all these elements coming together make that particular
particular culture. And for our generation, it's the hip-hop culture. Our music is DJ. You know what I mean? The spoken word is the MC. The artist is the graffiti cat. And the dancer is the B-boys and B-girls. So that's our cultural movement. So when you say hip-hop to us, you're talking about all those things.
All
when
those,
you say hip-hop today, or you hear cats say hip-hop on the radio or on these video shows, they're not talking about hip-hop. They're talking about rap music.
Right, because you sure won't see Rick Ross big ass out there breakdancing.
Of one of the elements of hip-hop.
Yeah.
Okay, because you rarely see B-boys, graffiti artists, or, you know what I mean? Well, I mean, or DJ. Well, DJ playing a bigger role. They're doing some sort of a comeback. But at one time, they tried to eliminate the DJ. Tell niggas, yo, you don't even need them. Just put this, put in this and press the button. You good. Okay? So they try to break down the fucking culture, man. But to hip-hop, to hip-hop cats, all those things together are hip-hop, plus the things that have been added to the culture since then. Freestyling, beatboxing, you know what I mean? Style is an element of hip-hop. How you think you knew what hip-hop was by looking at it? You seen cats. You was like, oh, yo, that's a hip-hop dude right there. Because you knew by looking at him, you know what I mean? You ask Africa Man Body, he'll tell you that the knowledge of hip-hop is an element of hip-hop today. So, and there's going to be more things added. But the foundation is the DJ, MC, B-boys, and the graffiti cats. All right? And if those things aren't present, then your hip-hop is lacking.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, Prez, I'm glad we came up in the time we did because we got to experience that, though. You know what
all
I mean? Like
errors. I mean, all you got to do for us is go back a few years and boom, you got Kaz and you got Mel and you got everybody, Bambada. And you know what I'm saying? Then the era we came up in, you know, then the decade after that, I'm just not feeling the bullshit that's today. I'm going back in time. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm going. But
right.
You know, this is
because you sure won't see Rick Ross big ass out there break dancing.
Man,
no, you're not gonna see none of that shit. They're not even gonna pay homage to that. They're gonna look if they come across one of the legends. They're just gonna look at them like, okay, who is that? You know what I'm saying? Like they living for today. They're not trying, like you said, prayers trying to preserve what's out here for the future generations, man. Because if not, it'd get lost, man. It'd get lost real quick, and it'd just be another thing.
And it's good that
we leave it up to them to try to preserve. They're gonna preserve is the statistics of the record sales.
That's
right?
It.
That's
yep. There you go.
That's it. That's 6-7 years before that. You know what I mean? You ain't gonna hear much about that. You know
well, like
I mean?
When the cats say, "Oh, if he didn't sell, just because you got record sales, don't make you the greatest MC or a great MC."
Like, what record he made? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can stake the argument with me. What record he made?
Yeah.
What, you know, he got gold record. Like what? You know, if he sold this and that, then why he ain't? You know why? What? You know what I'm saying?
Right. They try to measure legacy by success, but most of the best people have always been
success.
Have been oppressed. Yeah.
What's success to you?
Yeah.
You
exactly.
Know what I'm saying? What's success to you? And then what's your idea of success? What do you respect? And what they respect today is money. They respect bling. They respect big cars and houses and shit like that. That's success to them.
Yeah.
So if you don't meet that criteria, then it's like, to them, how the fuck can he be successful?
Right.
Like, who is this nigga? You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
So we had a different gauge of what success is. And coming up, we weren't trying to be rich. We were trying to be famous.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
and
you
we,
famous, though, man, because, shit,
I grew up, man.
I knew when Fred said who he was having on, I knew who you was, you know what I'm saying? A lot of them probably had to Google or whatever, but that's good. That's what it's there for, you know what I'm saying? If you didn't, this the cat you probably already done heard a million-plus times. Here you go.
And,
you know what I mean?
Trust me, I ride the train and all that, man. Walk down the street every day, you know, every now and, you know, every sixth or eighth person to be like, yo, Kaz, what up? You know, like that. And then it's cool. I'm comfortable. It's all good.
Yeah.
But there's not a place that you can really go and say my name and a motherfucker be like, huh? Who? What? If it's hip hop involved, you say my name, a motherfucker gonna know. My name is synonymous with hip hop.
Yeah.
And if it ain't, a motherfucker he need to learn more about hip hop because he obviously don't know nothing.
He need to tune in tonight.
Right here.
Right. You ain't got to reach far back for me. I'm right here.
Yep. You're right here. Tune in right now.
Get the DVD. Book will be out in a week. You know what I'm saying?
I was just watching you last night, and here I'm talking to you today. It's a trip. It's crazy. And you know what I'm saying? A lot of the guys that I reach out from your era, well, not even your era. You're the furthest I go back on the show. I'll say that tonight. Real humble motherfuckers, man. You've been nothing but humble here, and we can't thank you enough, man.
What am I supposed to do? Like front on y'all or something?
Well, some of these motherfuckers
big time. I'm like, what the fuck they gonna do for me? Come on, man. I called you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you hit me and you said you want to interview me. You heard I had the book coming out. I'm like, you know what? Cool. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Anyway, you know what I mean? Let me call the nigga back. You know, most people are like, well, what kind of show you got? You know, and this, I don't give a fuck, man. If you promoting hip hop and you want to talk to me, well, hey, I'm going to call you.
Yeah. That's right. Red's got an outlet for everybody who say they can't get on the radio. Or they can't get promotion, or they can't get nobody to listen to what they got coming out, this and that. Prez putting this shit together, man, for real. Prez, you finna be on 50 here in a minute, man.
Shit,
because we
man.
Work hard, baby. We gonna get it, man.
But
well, do what you do, man, because, like, you know, it's a lot of cats out here. Me, I've been particularly, you know, kind of, I ain't even gonna say lucky, because I plant the seeds to make my shit happen. I mean, I'm in this for the long run. And if this don't work, all right, then I'm gonna make some new shit, and I'm gonna do that. You know what I mean? And then when that run, I'm gonna have this over here. So I always got a bunch of, you know, a bunch of different things going on that keep, you know, keep my blood going. You know, keep me out in the public. You know what I'm saying? VH1 always calling a nigga whenever they doing something about hip hop. You know, they want to have somebody that they know what they talking about. Boom.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, you know, more visible than most cats. But this is the kind of, you know, this is the kind of vehicle that, you know, the whole school of my first school of hip hop need. You know what I mean? For the cats that don't get as much, you know, airplay or you know what I mean, or you know what I mean, media attention. You know. So
hey, Prez,
did you already ask
what you do? Do y'all still touring or anything like that? Or
yeah, man.
I don't know if anybody asked
Cold
earlier.
Crush
I went on earlier.
Cold Crush, man. We still doing our thing, man.
Because I remember a while back they had. See, I'm in St. Louis, and they called it the Hip Hop Legends, but it was nobody from before. Like it was like Dougie Fresh, Biz Markie. I think he was the DJ, and it was like Big Daddy Kane.
They're trying to eliminate the first fucking school of hip-hop. Come on, Dougie Fresh was fucking a baby. That nigga was just coming up when we was in Harlem World in 1982. You know, we put him up under our wing coming up.
Yeah, see, they always
that,
had
oh my
him.
God, well, on his well, record, on the show, that's my girl.
But I bet if y'all put something together, man, it came out here, these people would come to it, man, because...
I would hope so.
Still got your fans out here, man. For real. It's still something out here. I know it is.
Well, hey, can you give them a little taste, man? Can you bust one of those freestyles, man?
You know what? I would. But you know what? My style ain't free. I write and get paid for it. My title's Grandmaster. I rhymed and DJ'd for it. Niggas tried to battle me, lost, and got slayed for it. Ain't no downfall in sight, though cats prayed for it. I've been in trenches, duck monkey wrenches, but I'ma keep pulling wenches way after I got dentures. I'm like Great Adventures, all jokes aside, I keep them screaming like that fucking Batman ride. I got flows like spring water. Deer Park, the Avion, a G and a lover. Put them together, call me Savion. I'm gravy on tracks, beats or acapella. And I ain't Jay-Z, but shit, I'll Rockefeller.
Man, hey, thank you. Thank you, man.
All right.
Hey, that's that shit.
Yeah. And before we go, give everybody your website. I know you
no doubt. Check this out. It's still building. You know what I mean? I got a real good cat working with me on the website. It's www.grandmastercaz.com, okay? And, you know, my latest exploits will be up there, some pictures and stuff, and, you know, booking information and all that. Of course, Twitter, you know what I mean? Grandmaster Caz on Twitter, Grandmaster Caz Brown on Facebook, The Real GMC and Instagram. You know what I mean? I'm on the network, so.
Everywhere,
I'm
everywhere. And if you could,
you
man.
You see, he got me, so.
Yeah, definitely, man. And if you, well, shit, I almost got Richard Ramirez one time for a story, but that's a whole different genre. if you can, could you plug me with Melly and a few of the other guys? I'd love to have them on the show as well.
Well, they got Facebook pages just like you got at me, man. Don't be scared to holler at nobody, man.
Oh, no, I just don't want to go through the rigmarole. If you could plug me, just give him my info,
saying,
man.
What rigmarole you went through to get to me?
Just have to do my research, man. Had to get on the net. And, you were easy. You were easy to find. I'll give you that. But some of these other guys, man, it's, you know, weeks and weeks of emails, publicists, this and that. But if I can get to them as quick as I got to you, all right, I'm on it.
Yeah, well. And bring them back, Prez. Bring them all on.
I want
a round
you
table
on.
With
that's
the...
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like a round table or some shit. So,
because we gonna just sit back and peep game, man, and learn. Because see, we almost students to the game too. You know what I'm saying? Because like we were saying earlier, we come up way behind y'all. So y'all influence us to do what we doing. You know what I'm saying? So we always peep game. From the OGs, man, for real. That's
what's up. That's what's up.
Because that's how we gonna give
mean.
It to the ones that's calling us OGs. Because if we getting it from OGs, we giving it to our little Gs. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And we preserving that shit here.
Yeah,
it don't take away from you. It just adds on to you. You know what I mean? When you acknowledge what came before you, and you know you got that and plus you, and you can pass all that on. You know what I mean? So. I mean, that's what it's about at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Thanks again, yo. Y'all be up. Y'all stay up, all right?
Hey, you have a good one, man.
Peace.
Man, that's what the fuck I'm talking about. That's, you know what I'm saying, episode 46 of Murder Master Music Show. What a way to, you know what I'm saying, do it tonight. We had one of the founders of this, man. You heard him, man. One of the five founders of this fucking... this game, and I haven't made the type of money I wanted to make, but there were times when I made some good bank. I was able to take care of my family, and it's because of motherfuckers like that I'm even in this position. It's because of the graffiti artists. It's because of all the elements that came together and make it what it is. You gotta think of it, man. Everything started from one thing, and it just grew into other things, and it branched out, and it branched out from there. It went all the way to the West Coast. It went down south. It stretched around the world 20, 30 times. But, you know, some of you motherfuckers, especially you bitches in Schweinfurt, you need to quit rapping because you still ain't got it right, man. These cats, they need to put you in rap school. But, I'm going to play some of the music now that I grew up off of because I came up around, same time as Mac J. So, of course, I got to play the 80s, but I do have a couple tracks, you know what I'm saying, that go back from these guys. Like, you know, I got The Message, Melly Mel, I got Planet Rock, you know what I'm saying? You're going to hear some Rakim, Public Enemy, Ice-T, Eazy-E. Fucking, of course, you know, the Two Live Crew, Too Short. Just kick back and enjoy this fucking music, man, right here on the Murder Master Music Show. Fuck everyone else that ain't supporting this shit. Shout out to the other real radio DJ. Shout out to my brother, Chill, First Fam Radio. Shout out to everybody over at KFYB. I know that's a different format from what we're doing, but that's part of the family right there. Those are the craziest motherfuckers. Every Saturday night, 7 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. Central. That's what I call contained shit. What did I call that shit? I don't even remember, Mac. Mac, what the
some
fuck
crazy,
did I
call? Just some crazy shit. Some crazy shit that we do and just get fucking wild on their ass on Saturday night. That commercial that you played with Six, I don't know if you played it tonight, but I'll be waiting to hear that motherfucker. Like, tell him what you motherfuckers gonna be doing on Saturday night? Probably nothing with your boring ass life. So however my dude Six say it, he let you motherfuckers know if you want to kick back and just talk shit, get on some motherfuckers' heads. And we want to do some prank calls probably coming up too. So hit us with the info on that shit. You know what I'm saying? And y'all think Ricky Smiley them get motherfuckers? Y'all ain't heard Prez them yet. Y'all ain't heard this shit yet. So hit us with that info on how to get in somebody's head that's been fucking with you all week, and we can get them on Saturday.
Definitely. Right here, UGS Radio. Go to UGSLife.motherfucking.com.
Eazy-E.
Believe that.
How are you doing?
All right.
So Eazy, tell me, how is your life as a youngster?
Ruthless. My style is a juvenile. Ran with a gang. Slanged in the meanwhile. Banking. I specialize in ganking. White, Mexican brothers and others daily. It's all about coming up. Making sure no punks start running up. Because I'm a gangster having fun. Strapped with the gap when I'm walking through Compton. Terrible. I never listened to my mother. It went in one ear and out the other. Ran my gang. Call a girl out of name, yo, I ain't no lover, I'm a pimp, Mac Daddy, looking for the dollar, at 13, I
situation when you so-called drink someone?
Wait, wait, for some people to leave. I got another trick up my sleeve. Step with pep to the back of the house, looked in. All the lights are out. Grab the door and it's locked so. Easily made my way to the window. Lift it up slow, cause it takes time and looked around and then I climbed in. Once inside, I start taking, cause you know it's no time for shaking. Get what you're gonna get, front and center, or get 5 years for breaking an antenna. Move quickly, but no running. I think somebody's coming. Hear the front door key and I flee out the back with a fistful of jewelry over the wall. Don't fall, wipe my sweat, cause that was a close call. Getting ganked by the E is a lesson. So, is there any more questions?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there is. Have you ever been involved in like an armed robbery or a holdup?
You mean a 211?
Yeah. There's a store, but don't point. Walk inside, case the joint. One man behind a counter, another in the back. Go out to the car and load the gas. Grab the ski mask, here's the chance. Going broke.
Were you slick?
Yeah, you gotta be cunning. Told Ice Cube to leave the car running. Walked in, said this is a robbery. Didn't need the money, it's just a hobby. Fill the bag, homeboy, don't lag. I want money, beer, and a pack of zigzags. The man in the back had a camera, so he came out to test his stamina. Against Eazy-E, but he took one, fell to the floor. So I run back to the bucket, then I said punch it. Took the gun, and then dumped it. I'm not like Robin Hood, cause I want more steal from the rich. Hang with the poor, my pockets are fat, you see. It don't matter to me, I feel like nobody is better than me. Know that truth, I don't lie. See, I'm not Mr. Nice Guy. Oh, so you're not exactly a role model.
Not exactly.
And for your listeners, what does EV think of himself? Fat and bold, you can't get with this. Those that try, you're on my shit list. Can't be caught, sought, or fought, taught. And damn so far, down and dirty from the CTT, NWA, and Eazy-E. One more before we end this session.
What's your real age?
No more questions.
It's quite frightening, but don't be afraid in the dark, in the fog, not a scream or a cry or a bark, or like a frog. I tremble like an alcoholic, muscle tighten up, what's that like? No, you see a sight, but some you feel like you're in a horror flick. You grab your heart and whip for tomorrow quick. Music's a clue when I come, you're warned. Apocalypse now, when I'm done, you're gone. Haven't you ever heard of an MC murderer? This is a death penalty and I'm serving her. Step with, so come on, step to this hysterical idea for a lyrical professionist. Friday the 13th, walking down L Street. You come in my realm, you get beat. This is off limits, so your bridges are blurry. All you see is the meters of the volume pumping lyrics of fury. A purified freestyle. Never ever file. They read I'm known to exile. For those that oppose who be level or next to this, I ain't a devil and this ain't the exorcist. Worse than a nightmare, you don't have to sleep or wink. The pains of migraine every time you think. Flashbacks interfere, you start to hear the R-A-K-I-M in your ear. Then the beat is hysterical, that makes Eric go get an axe. Chop the wax, soon the lyrical. For mad inferior, faces of death are made. MCs decay, but they never stay. Crime every night at the show. The feet of a bomb on the mic that you know. It's only one capable breaks to unbreakable melodies, unmakeable patterns, unescapable. A horn if you want the style I possess. I bless the child, the earth, the gods, and bomb the rest. For those that envy an MC, it can be hazardous to your health, so be friendly. A matter of life and death, just like an etch-a-sketch. Shaking you clear, make it disappear. Make the next after the ceremony met. A rhyme rest in peace. If not, my soul will release. The scene is recreated, reincarnated, updated. I'm glad you made it. But you're about to see a disastrous sight. A performance never again performed on a mic. Lyrics of fury. A purified freestyle.
and not only pounds of plays your eardrum. I sit back and observe the whole scenery. The nonchalantly tell you what it mean to me. Strictly business, I'm quickly in this mood, and I don't care if the whole crowd's a witness. I'ma tear you apart, but I'ma spare you a heart. Programming to the speed of the rhyme, prepare to start. Rhythms out of the radius, the same as the craziest. Musical madness, MC ever made to you. Now an emergency, open heart surgery. Open your mind, you will find every word to be. Furious than ever, I remain the future. Battle's tempting, whatever suits you. But where's the sentence? There's no resemblance. You think you're double the double the consequences. I'm never dying, terrifying results. I wake you with hundreds of thousands of false mics. I'm out for resuscitation, rhythm with radiation. Nova Kane's a pain, it might save him. If not, Eric B's the judge, the crowd's the jury. How do I plead the homicide? Lyrics of fury.
What it is right here, episode 46, Murder Mastery Show. This is old school shit. Not everybody can get into it, you know. I don't even listen to much of it as I should anymore anyway, man. But I will bump that old Too Short shit, man. We're going to play some of that. But I definitely ain't going to bump this swaggish shit that's out today. It's just disgusting. These motherfuckers are out there talking some of the gayest shit, and people are supporting it, and it's everywhere. Even in the documentary with Kaz, I saw Illuminati symbolism everywhere. Like Eminem had this necklace with a fucking pyramid in it, and they kept zooming in on it, you know. And there was another scene where even Ice-T had a fucking Illuminati symbol on his shirt, and you know, they're putting that shit everywhere, man. They're putting that shit everywhere. And there was a lot of guys on that documentary I didn't feel deserved to be on there. Of course, Kanye West, I didn't like seeing him on there. I didn't like seeing Exhibit on there. Who else? I mean, there was a bunch of them. The shit that I liked was the old cats, like Kaz, that was, you know, speaking that truth of how the shit started. And, you know, that's what it is. That's what it is. You know, it's on your Netflix. You know, check that shit out if you ain't seen it yet. But of course, Dr. Dre was on there. It's like, come on, every time someone mentions a producer, do they have to mention that guy? I know he started a lot of shit. We just heard an Eazy-E song, you know. But at the end of the day, is he really the best producer the game has ever seen? I mean, do people have to continue to say that? I don't know. To me, he's not. But we're gonna go back, you know what I'm saying? This is the first time you heard Tony Montana sing on the record right here. You heard about it. DJ Ready Red, Balls of My Word, is the instrumental track where it's the first time Scarface was sampled. You know what I'm saying? And you heard about it here on check the archives. Go to UGSforlife.com/UGS radio, check the fucking archives and listen to the DJ Ready Red show. Right here in the Murder Master Music Show.
All I have in this world. All I have in this world. All I have. All I have. All I have. All I have. All I have in this world. All I have in this world. All I have in this world. All I have. All I have. All I have in this world.
This sound like a great big pussy. Lights in my face. That's the time, you know the place. Cuffed in the room with the two-way glass. The text in effect, cold dog on my ass. What's your date of birth? What's your real name? I stuck to my alias, I know the game. If they don't know who you are, then they don't know what you've done. You just making this hard on yourself, son. I know this shit by heart. I'm too clever. Have you ever been arrested before? Nope, never. DA reject all over his face, you see? No confession, no case. Then my boy started illin', talking and telling. Son of a bitch, he was a snitch. Drama.
Studio, you know what I'm saying? And this brother stopped me and asked me, yo, what's up with that brother Chucky D? He's way nice. I said, yo, brother, don't sway nice. He knows he's nice, you know what I'm saying? So, Chuck, you gotta feel what you're turning into a public enemy, man. Now, remember that line you was kicking to me on the way down to LA Lounge and Dreams while we was in the car on our way to the shop? Well, yo, right now, keep the bass for them brothers and let them know what goes on.
What goes on?
Kankakee, Illinois, doing the Running Man and shit fast as fuck before it even came out in style.
What was your favorite thing to do back then, other than listen to rap? I mean, what kind of toys were you, because you had to have been in the fourth grade, you know?
Yeah, I was in the, G.I. Joe, Cobra. Like, my brother, he 2 years older than me, so he used to get G.I. Joe. I always got Cobra shit, or If I got an Autobot, he got Decepticon, you know what I'm saying, just running around. But this music here, like I told you earlier, my cousins, the majority of my cousins, much older than me and my brother, so like they was in the laying the cardboard boxes down and, you know what I'm saying, beatboxing in the corner of the room, you know what I'm saying? Everybody wanted to beatbox.
Yeah.
That was my first thing. I used to want to be like Biz Markieff with that beatboxing shit, though.
Yeah, that's real shit, real shit. Let's bring on Wicked Vendetta.
You.
Hey, man, when you hear this shit, make me wonder how I keep going. I mean, where does it take you? I mean, what memories do you have?
It's my life, man. I mean, for me, it's so many components, so many elements. It's like, you know, we hear the cliche a lot. You know, I am hip-hop. I live and breathe hip-hop. I mean, this is where I was growing up when all of this was going on. This is stuff that was right outside my door. And it's like, you know, so many different memories from the beginning to different sections to different parts. I mean, for me, it's just my life. I mean, I give you a prime example. You and I were going back and forth on Facebook during this episode, and you were talking about trying to get Bush with Bill on.
Yeah.
Right? I'll give you a piece of my history. A lot of people don't know Bushwick Bill is from New York. That Bushwick is from the Bushwick section of New York, where we grew up at. Bushwick Bill and I used to write graffiti together. We went to the same junior high school. We were in the same rap crews. I mean, this is a cat who I really did not know. Show you how strange life is. I didn't know he rhymed. I knew him as a graffiti artist and a breakdancer, believe it or not. We were part of the same graffiti squad. We were part of the same breakdancing team. I never knew this cat rhymed. I found out that Bushwick Bill was an MC after he left New York and moved to Texas. I find out that he's an MC, dog, while I'm going through records in Germany. I'm going through crates of records in Germany. I pull out this Ghetto Boys record, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's my boy. Like, you know, it's crazy.
I'll tell you what.
And that's why I always tell you I'm so appreciative of what you do, because you don't realize, I don't think, you don't realize how powerful the things that you're doing are. But all of this stuff is so connected, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, this is like life. You just play Public Enemy. I just got a text. I just forwarded to you. They're going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next year.
Yeah.
I remember when they had a radio show on WHBI, like the same thing that you're doing now. That's how Public Enemy came together.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's crazy. On a little teeny tiny station in Long Island, nobody was really listening to them, but the very few people in the city that could actually get that signal. And every Friday, Saturday night, they would have their little underground radio show, and Public Enemy grew out of that.
And you know what's crazy? You just said it's all intertwined. You know what's crazy? Willie D was in the studio with Bushwick Bill. Bushwick was the dancer. He wasn't rapping.
Yeah.
But they were playing a Public Enemy song. I think it was Public Enemy number one or My Uzi Weighs a Ton, one of the two. And Bushwick was rapping in sync with Chuck D so well that Willie D's like, man, I got an idea. Let's make this dude a rapper. And he wrote rap for him. Bushwick didn't want to do it, I guess. And, you know, that's what Willie told me in the interview. So, yeah, man, intertwined, man.
Me and this dude, me and Bushwick Bill was running the streets of Brooklyn. Just part of this hip-hop movement, graffiti, the whole nine. I never knew this dude could rhyme, period.
Yeah.
You know, I never heard him butt around.
When did he move to Houston?
You're talking, we got out of junior high. We were in junior high together for 3 years. So I got out of junior high school, I think it was like 84. So after that, that was the last time I really, you know, saw him. Because when I went to high school in the city in Manhattan. And that's when I started to get, you know, all of the other influences coming from uptown and everything else. And then after that, I went in the military. And like I was just telling you earlier, it was such a struggle within that movement because there wasn't a blueprint. The only thing we would really hear was New York, New York, New York, New York music. When I went overseas, man, and I first heard the West Coast stuff and the stuff from the South, that was like giving a dope addict drugs for me, because I was like, what the hell is this? You know, it was like, I want more of it. What is it? You know, I'm hearing Too Short, I'm hearing N.W.A., I'm hearing Ice-T, I'm hearing Sir Mix-a-Lot. We weren't getting fed on the streets of New York. We weren't getting fed that. Because, again, the mainstream and the radio stuff hadn't even let the local stuff in. So they weren't interested in anything from out of town because they wasn't paying anything inside the city any attention. You know?
Yeah.
So for me, it's just like, that's just my life. It's like, looking back over your life, it was weird because I've seen this come from those street corners, man, to this billion-dollar worldwide industry. It's crazy. You know?
Yeah.
Like Cass said, nobody knew back then that this was going to make money like it's doing now. You know?
Yeah, it's real talk. That's real talk, man. And you
keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, definitely we'll do it, man. Thank you, thank you for calling, brother.
No problem, man.
Yeah, let's see if we can get Young Six on the line, man. See if he's there.
Hey, Brad, this shit you playing in the back, man. This just be my shit, though.
Oh, yeah. This is that old school shit. Hey, Six, how you doing, brother?
I'm over here high as a kite right now. The fucking car.
Man, what was some of the first rap music you heard, man?
Man, some of the first shit I ever had was like Two Shorts. My boy took me down place, man. Two Shorts, KRS One was some first shit. Wu-Tang was some first shit. NWA for Eazy-E, all that shit. We went down the line to Dayton family and everything else, man. So I had a lot of that shit in juice for me as a kid.
I bet your brother, you know, knew Too Short directly. Did he ever tell you any stories about him?
Yeah, DC had clowned down for his teeth on a 51 bus.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, everybody used to clown down for his teeth.
His crooked before he got that grill fit.
Yeah,
huh?
his teeth was a good source of comedy back in the day.
I think he had them teeth all the way up into Short Dogs in the House. And then when Shorty the Pimp came out, he had the new teeth, I think. Or it might have been cocktails, I don't know.
He had to get some things corrected.
Yeah.
Like M80 blew up in his mouth.
I think he got his first bends before he got his teeth fixed. I would have been working on them teeth first. But you know, motherfucker, get a big bankroll, man. First thing they're gonna do is go get a whip.
Yeah, with a fucking ass. Man, but all that fucking music is
old shit.
It's a sad thing too when you hear it when you compare it to now. It's like a decline. It's fucking god awful these days. The radio is fucking angry dude nowadays.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
You're right, man. Definitely.
You ain't lying, Six. You sure?
No,
it sound like you over there baked like a batch of cookies.
I'm high as shit. Man. I just smoked a nice one. Some shit called Ogre. I never smoked it. It's really nice.
Damn, Ogre. Some of that Ogre.
Nice.
Some of that Shrek, huh?
God, this right here is like really dusty. This shit is nice looking.
I was about to say, I told Prez yesterday, from now on, when I smoke that good, I'm calling it that God Killer 6, man.
That's what it is. Yeah.
They be like, what you smoking on that God Killer 6? What's that? That's that good, man. Because my dudes stay smoking good.
Constantly.
I need to be smoking some good pop locking right now. Like a couple of my homies pop locking right now.
I tell you what, man. These fucking feds. They're upset that, you know, this shit's legal in Washington. They're upset that, you know, Denver, I think, is legal. That's two states, man. Why can't the rest of these motherfuckers follow suit and make it happen? You know, fuck this shit.
It's going to be legal real soon. This is almost like a prohibition thing we're going to do. Give it time and it'll be just legal as everything else. You know, why the fuck not?
Yeah, needs to be. Needs to be. Well, shit, we're gonna.
Right, they sure need to make that shit here in Missouri, man. Why not? We in the middle of the map. They should give us some sympathy and say, since y'all in the middle of the fucking country, y'all might as well be able to smoke something.
Yeah. Fuck. Something good though.
Yeah. Hey, Prez, don't we get that Maxi Brick Pack?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really feel sorry for y'all when y'all talk about weed. I bet y'all got this. Some medium grade shit best, man. That's some sad shit, man.
So, like I said, I had some shit the other day. It looked like a spear. I had to, like, break it down in layers. It was just so compressed.
Yeah, Missouri
like
born as hell, man.
You know what I'm saying? You could cut somebody with it. That's how compressed it was. Tie it to a stick and just jab it right into a fucking elephant rib cage. Kill that motherfucker.
You did say that yesterday. It looked like an arrowhead or some shit, huh?
Hey, how did it break up? Was it real dry and shit?
It was dry. You had to peel that shit in these little layers.
Look at
that. It was exactly what RBL Posse was talking about when they said don't want that Bammer weed.
That shit looked like that alfalfa shit you buy at the pet store.
Look like that frozen broccoli you get at Walmart out the freezer.
Garbage ass.
Horrible.
Fuck the finger ass weed, man.
So you love it, man. That California love, man.
Send me pictures of that killer shit.
Yeah, while we sitting over here smoking Nabisco shredded wheat.
Yeah. Yeah, with a little bit of green food coloring in it. That's about it. I'd rather
right
smoke
here,
tea
little,
bags or something.
A little sample of 6 on 8 for Sunday, I guess. This shit right here is couch locked like a motherfucker. It's a real relaxed shit.
I can tell, man, you're a little bit slurred up over there, man. You must be feeling pretty good right about now.
Oh, man, I'm thinking about going to fry some eggs. I just hope I have the motor skills to do so and shit.
Good luck with the
eggs,
man.
It's about the time you wish you had a dumb bitch to just, hey, bitch, fry the fucking eggs before I beat you in the face with a frying pan.
Your ass crazy, man.
That's a joke. Why is the dishwasher broke? Hey, because I'm broke a stupid face.
Hey, have a good one, man. Thanks for calling in, both of y'all,
man.
Appreciate
man.
It.
Good shit.
Be easy.
UGS for life.
TheLife.com. That's it. That's episode 46. Put that one in the fucking archives. Shout out to Grandmaster Caz, everybody that came through tonight. You know what I'm saying? Wicked Vendetta. That's the homie on the East Coast. Much love. Mac J, of course, man, is always coming through, man. Thank you for dropping some questions. And God Killer 6, of course, you know what I'm saying? Devil 6 at the end, man. Hope you do good with them fried eggs or whatever the fuck you concocting over there, my brother. Try not to burn yourself up. And we'll see you guys episode 47. Might be tomorrow. I'm not sure who the guest is going to be yet, but it'll probably be a fucking legend or a pioneer. You can best believe that. Just keep doing what you're doing, everybody. Keep supporting this shit. UGSforLife.com. Oh, yeah, everybody on the Facebook, you're wondering why the fuck can't I post shit up on Prez's wall no more, this and that. Nah, man, shit. I'm two steps away from deleting my fucking Facebook account. I know I say that time to time. It's just, motherfucker gets agitated and aggravated with dumb shit. So my wall is to promote for me and mine. If you're part of the family, if you're one of the friends, one of the homies, I got you. You already know that off top. But if you're one of these motherfuckers that want me to promote your shit, but I never see anything UGS, anything Demolition, anything affiliated with any of my people on your wall, I can't fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? I can't fuck with you. So, you know, in order to get support, you got to give support, man. It's that's what it is over here at UGSforLife.com, man. And, you know what I'm saying? We got to keep doing what we got to do. Go to the site. Get fucking ads in the magazine. Go to UndergroundSocietyMagazine.com. Half page, $50. Full page, $100. You know what I'm saying? Next issue is going to have DJ Paul. It's going to have Gangster Pat. It's going to have all kinds of different people in there. So, keep supporting the movement. Keep supporting this radio show this Saturday. Don't forget to tune in to KFYB Radio, 7 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. Central. God damn, man. I fucking feel like one of those auctioneer dudes. I'm trying to remember everything. Oh, yeah, Church of Reality on Sunday, 9 p.m. Central. They have a crazy end-of-the-world thing on the Mayans, man. So, all you people, all you apocalyptic people out there that think shit's going to end on the 21st, you know, if you want to find out the real deal, man, let my boy Scan tell it to you this Sunday. And, shit, man, just keep tuning in. All week we might have some more shit. UGSforLife.motherfucking.com.